wrote to her saying dot dot dot, you know, you whore dot 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 puta, right?
Welcome to another Latino with a podcast. I'm the Latino with a podcast, Christian Hennismayer, and today I am with Josida La Cabrona. And I'm not insulting her. That's the name she chose for when she produced. I met her here in Chicago. She's now living in LA. So welcome. Like, do you have anything to say about leaving me? Because we were doing a lot of shows and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go home.
I didn't want to leave, but I had to leave. And I think a veces las mejores decisiones, the best decision you can make is to choose yourself in a moment of intensity. It was a lot of transitions last year, so but now you have a place to go in LA, so don't get mad.
Are you trying to turn the podcast into a self self-healing journey? It's like the best moments are the moments you are in them. Like what? Like what is happening?
It's like when you really believe in yourself, there's nothing you cannot do. Like right?
There's that music, this like wide river like music that is.
Don't even start, because now my TikTok algorithm is gonna start giving me those like healers, like, yes, you are the one that chose to be where you are, and then I'm like, stop yelling at me. But there I am saving it and sending it to all my friends.
What would you be like your phrase, the motivational phrase?
My motivational phrase would be
just believe in you.
No, I think my motivational phrase would be, don't be afraid to reinvent yourself at whatever age.
Okay. I'll put this with the music. With the music and the caption on the
but
like stars
true,
and shit.
Because that's how I feel, you know, us being, I mean, me, I'm in my mid-30s, and by this point, should I have babies by now, but abuela by now. Yeah, I should have already been taking my nieto to kindergarten, and like here I am taking my dog to American University for dogs.
But he's in college. He's in college. Look, I went to LA with her and I stay at your house, and now your dog loved me and your family loved me.
Yeah,
and
we celebrate your birthday and
we had. I'm no vegetarian anymore. I have to.
Oh my God.
I have to go again because I'm no vegetarian anymore. Like they're gonna love me more.
Yeah, because we had to go out of our way to Thanksgiving.
And they hate me because they make tamales, and so they make the
cheese tamales. But
they make the chicken and beef tamales, and then they make cheese tamales on the side, and they burn it.
Yeah, that was horrible. We burned them not because we didn't love you. It was because it was a wrong vasija. But now I now have a spot. So now I have my own place in California. So I get to buy tamales.
But you know what? What is a good breakfast? Her eggs with tortillas.
Oh, yeah, dude. Con huevos, huevos rancheros.
Huevos rancheros.
Huevos rancheros regulares. Con huevo.
I just want to know. No, I would love to have that breakfast again. But I want to know, like, you were here in the scene in Chicago, and you moved to LA. You are producing now in both. You have producers experience in both places. What is the difference for you between Chicago and LA? And important question, what would you like more?
So I feel like in Chicago, we grow much more into who we are as comics. And in California, you have to already be ready. Okay. You can go to places and learn to, you know, put your foot in the door and perform at different spaces. But in Los Angeles, everybody's there to make it, right? So training wise, like, people have to pay over there to actually perform. Like, if you want to do a mic, you have to perform, you have to pay $5.
Yeah. New York is the same.
Yeah. And in Chicago, it's like, if you don't find an opportunity, you make your opportunity and then you bring others with you. And I think that was the most beautiful thing that I learned here. Because I went to California, and I'm very fortunate because I am from California. And so, you know, I didn't really go with the purpose of like, oh, I'm going to grow my comedy career. I went with the purpose of, like, I need to go and grow myself as a person inside, you know, another motivational quote, right?
That's the name of the episode, inspirational quotes.
It was really, I'm going to be honest with you, it was really out of luck. Like, it was the whole same, if you're at the right place at the right time. Because if it weren't for my coworkers at my job, that were very much like, hey, you gotta go, you gotta get out of like this like routine. We know that you love comedy, like let's go watch a comedy show. And if you tell any comedian, ask anybody, we don't like watching, we like performing. Yes. And it's like asking, you know, Kobe Bryant to go not play basketball and you watch him like, you know, not be able to play. But that's what happened to me, you know. And he's up there in the skies, Kobe Bryant.
he's up there in the first floor.
But yeah, that's how it happened. And honestly, like at the end of the day, like one of the biggest things that I found is that to produce a show is much easier. It was much easier for me to produce here because I have built long-standing relationships with a lot of like local business owners from like years. And in California, I'm starting from scratch. Like building these relationships with like, you know, restaurants or venues that want to allow us to host shows. And then the bigger shows, like the bigger venues, like the Improvs and the Laugh Factories, you really got to show them a floor plan of like, hey, this is what we can bring to the table and this is what we can sell for you. Because at the end of the day, it's all about ticket sales. Like that's what I've learned, that it's in LA or in New York maybe, but in LA, a lot of these major places is that either you have a lot of name recognition, you've been there for a long time, you're in Hollywood, you're a movie star, you have a special somewhere, and you sell tickets. Or you bring people to your shows that are going to perform, they're going to sell tickets. And yeah, I mean, a lot of people that are out there, they're working 3, 4, 5 jobs too, that I've seen. And so, I'm very fortunate that that's where I'm from, so I didn't really have to, like, live with strangers. I was able to be at home and everything. But when I started my career in California in comedy, it was crazy because my family had never seen me perform ever. They've heard, they saw it on like social media, but they never seen me in person. So the first time that I got to perform at the Ice House in Pasadena, my cousins and my brothers and my sister and everybody went, my friends, my principals from high school. Like, I mean, this was crazy. And to show this new part of me to them was just like the most incredible feeling in the world.
Imagine if you bump.
You know what's funny?
After like, all of those people and you're like, and everybody's like, she's not that funny. Like,
well, they actually asked my sister, hey, is your sister funny? And then my sister goes, well, actually, like,
no,
kinda. Like, mm-mm. I won't say, but then thankfully, I guess I was funny. But see, the best part was here in Chicago, when we do shows, oftentimes we as comics, we hear each other's jokes all the time. We're like, yeah. Oh my God. Same thing again. But then we realize, I'm like, well, we got to, because the crowd is different sometimes. But sometimes the crowd is not. If your following doesn't expand, you keep inviting the same people over and over, they're going to go see the shows, they're going to go see your content over and over again.
Exactly.
But and then if you say it different, like, oh, you didn't say it like you did last time, you know? And it's like, okay, like, let me change it a little bit. But in LA, what is so amazing is that because they only give you like 6-7 minutes to do your set, and we're used to doing 15-20 minutes, so you get to cut.
I'll put a dot in there. Okay, keep going.
You have to cut your stories, right? So you like what you would say in a whole set. You pick one. So every time I perform, I say something different because I'm trying to showcase different things so I could get that sound bite, which at the end of the day is the most amazing thing. So they're like, oh my God, you're the only one that brings new stuff in. I'm like, because I have so much material, and that is what I'm saying. Like, Chicago prepares you with building your material that you can pick out of.
But here, like, I talked exactly this with Tito yesterday. We have a show yesterday. It was really cool show to fight your way through it because there was a guy in the back who was drunk as fuck. But that's not what I was talking about. But Tito and me were talking that in Chicago, you don't get those opportunities to do 15. Like, this was in Chicago, we got it, but it was you coming here giving three comics 15 minutes. But usually shows, they put like 6 comics and they don't have, the show is 1 hour and it's like they host those and they put guest spots. So each comic end up doing like 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, apparently in the smaller cities like Indiana, like Wisconsin, they give people more time.
Mm-hmm.
So you see people coming from Indiana like, no, I don't headline whatever show in Wisconsin, and they're like, I have 25, and then they go to do 5, and it's not tight enough.
No, it's like not tight. No. Get it tight, get it right. that's the thing. I actually got in trouble.
Motivational quotes. Get it tight, get it right.
I got in trouble when I got to perform at these venues in LA because they were like, hey, like, we want to work with you. We think you're great, but you're running the clock. And over there, they're very adamant about respecting the light. And I'm like, damn. Like, I felt really bad. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I don't want to be this person. But the beautiful part was that a lot of the jokes that I had been doing for years, they had heard it for the first time and I had to really fine-tune them. So I felt very blessed that I was like, okay, these hit. And, like, they do categorize. Like, oh, you know, you're very clean. I'm not a cringe comic. Like, I don't do a lot of, like, sexual jokes and things like that. So I do get to be more commercial with my events. I do a lot of corporate events, too, now. But it's been a hell of a ride. But the reason here, what also I learned from over there is that you don't gotta stack it up. Like, you don't gotta put 20 comics or 15 comics. And I used to do that. I used to book like 10 comics because I wanted everybody to kill it. But then the audience gets tired.
Yeah, they get tired.
And they're like, and then when you have the headliner at the end, they're tired. They just spend 2 hours waiting for everybody else. And then people have left at that point, right? So what I learned in LA, sometimes they put headliners in between. Like, they put a headliner after two comics.
Okay.
Another small like groups of comics, and then another headliner. And then maybe that's it. But they spread out headliners and they spread out like how they go. But then I've also been in shows where they get stacked, because sometimes people don't remember that they promised somebody a spot, and they're like, hey, what time should I show up? And they're like, what? Oh, damn. Like, you know, like I forgot.
Just don't
show up. As a matter of fact. And then also just working with different people. It is a doggy world. You have to be very, you have to tread carefully, like who you go with. And like you said, I'm known as La Cabrona of comedy. And the reason that became was of a joke that I did when I first got the opportunity to perform at the Laugh Factory. But then I remember being in LA, like, let's say imitation is the best form of flattery.
Okay.
And I've seen it. And I've seen in people's how styles change or they start branding themselves with certain names. And I'm like, I'm happy that it's like there and it's motivational. But I'm also, there's things that I will never do to get a stage time. You know, there's things that I will never sell myself to get stage time. Like, I'm like, you know what? If there's no opportunity, I'm going to go create one.
Okay. I said, I'm going to try to go to LA twice next year. So you have some videos of me doing stand-up in LA. I went once already, and we had a show in
Your Walk. Yeah, it was great. Actually, that's one of the most popping shows. Oh, actually, it closed now.
It closed?
Well, they decided to, but the same people that produced it, they produced somewhere else. But yeah, you killed it.
I killed, and it was fun because they gave her a spot. Because they knew you,
the person, yeah.
And so they're like, they give you a spot, and you're like, can you give a spot to this guy? So I was the plus one. Like, they didn't know who I was, and they put me right like in the beginning, after the first or second comic. Yeah. And usually they do that because it's like, we don't know if he's gonna bomb. Usually it's like, let's give him a spot that is like, if he does bad, we can correct it.
Yeah.
And I fucking kill. And then they were like, dude, that was awesome.
Like, they were like, so you're leaving? Can you stay? And I was like, damn.
Yeah, they told me to get like, oh, yeah, I have a show in Laugh Factory like next Thursday. Can you do it? And I was like, no.
Like, yeah, tight schedule. I'm
coming back. Like,
well, that's the thing. That's the thing is when I see what I love about good comedians, like I only had this past weekend to be here in Chicago, and they were like, let's do a show. And coming out of being, you know, in a very great comedy festival, and then I wanted to hang out with like some of my best friends in comedy. I'm like, which one of my best friends? I like do really good, and I don't know, always good, uplifting, that we have each other's back, and you were one of them. And it's only a few, you know, like, but I am blessed that I do know a lot of great people that are great producers here, great comics, and people who mean well. And I think that's one of the things that I miss the most now that I'm in LA. That I'm in LA is like
people backstabbing people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like, you know.
That was so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I've actually, because of the...
Have you backstabbed people?
I know. I can't. I don't know how to. I've actually, like, I don't backstab, but if I think that...
Just stuff in the front.
Right. If I do think that your relationship with me is not two-way, where, like, I respect you and I am nice to you and I'm, you know, thoughtful with you, but then you're not the same in return, then I don't do nothing against you, but I just disassociate myself because I'm like, okay, I don't have enough. There's not enough hours in the day to entertain people that don't mean the best intentions for you.
That's another motivational quote.
And then, but actually, because people saw me do, people now that you, when you go and perform these shows, those shows are produced by show producers that are hired independently from the venue, right? So it's not like, say, the Ice House themselves. They do have their own comics that they showcase. Like when famous people go on, like Gabriel Iglesias or, you know, even Paulo Francisco or all these other folks, they do their own shows and they're brought by the Ice House. But then the Ice House also has local talent that produces their own shows. Like, let's say, I perform a lot with a comedian named Jimmy Shin, who has a special already out on Amazon and is a very well-known comedian. He just did a tour in Europe and everything, but he produces his own show. It's called The Shindig Show. And he does it at the Ice House. He does it at the Improv. He does it in Hollywood. So he
brings... Oh, he has this show and he moved the show from venue to venue.
Yeah, so sometimes he has shows at the same time at different venues, but his Shindig Show became a staple.
Okay, cool.
And he's a producer, right? But he's also a comic, and he brings people to perform. And there's other comics that have, like, their name and friends. And so they bring their friends that they put together to shows. So a lot of these venues are produced shows. And so sometimes, like, they are looking for somebody who's going to sell those tickets. And that's how I got on. And so a lot of people started saying, oh, Josh performing at the Ice House, Josh is performing here. And then I also ended up performing with this awesome comic who's also a producer, who's from Texas. She does a Chingona comedy. And she does it all over the country. And she had it at the El Paso comic strip, which I was able to go do. And I took my parents and to El Paso because I have family out there. I showed up in lowriders. It was so awesome. And my cousins came through. Like, they were like, I want to get a car or something that I could arrive to the venue. And they're like, we got you. We have cousins. We have cousins with a bunch of lowriders. And so here we are. We were rolling up in lowriders. And then people saw me there and they were like, hey, I want you to headline over here. And that's when I started to do headlining shows.
Nice.
Which were the best experience of my life, even though one of the scariest experiences of your life, because when you're given the opportunity to do more than 30 to 40 minutes, and that's when you really test yourself to see if you have the stamina to really, like, keep people laughing for 40 to 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, and to keep the people connected engaged with you for that long time.
And the first time I did 45 minutes was in Minnesota.
Venezuela?
Yeah. Yeah, where you're from. Where your people from. Yeah, like, imagine.
What do you mean, your people?
Yeah, yeah, all your people. Like, from your skin
I'm one
color
of the good ones. I have said that.
Dude, I know. Me too. I know some other good ones.
And with that, we're going to make a pause. Okay? We're coming back. And we're back. I'm one of the good ones. I just stole her car. No, I believe I'm one of the good Venezuelans. Like, dude, I have to have this conversation. I won't have it again in this podcast. Stop it. I wanted to talk because you're talking a lot about corporate events, about the how is the movement. I believe you are one of the person that I know that have a really nice way to network. And I have one of the topics because I bring topics. It's about the corporate language, because I feel like I can connect with people, but I cannot be using the "I hope this email finds you well." like I don't know how to connect, like, in a corporate way. Do your connections are in a corporate way, or?
Well, you'd be surprised. So I said, you'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised. You know,
I hope this message finds you well. But no, honestly, the way that it has been is that my first language was Spanish. Like, yo no sabía hablar inglés para nada.
Y todavía no sabía.
No sabía muy corporate. Y entonces lo que pasa, what happened was, is that I learned through being in programs, like speech and debate programs, and I had to write essays and do speeches about policies and politics, and then I went into politics for a very long time. But the way that I network is not by using corporate language. The way that I network is I build relationships with people by actually listening to them and understanding what's going on in their lives.
Okay.
You know, if they had a baby, hey, how's your baby doing? Or like if they just got married, hey, how's like, you know, being married? Like, is it all you expected? Like, so I remember things that people tell me, like the things that we connect with, right? And I have social media. People use social media for one thing. I use social media to maintain friendships and relationships. Because, for example, like when I was in Chicago back in the day, I had moved back to I went to Las Vegas. I lived in LA. I lived in Las Vegas. And I still maintain friendships with a lot of people. So when I moved back in 2019, you know, COVID happened and everything. But I was trying to help people, especially if they had small businesses. Like, how can I invest in their business? Because I know the pandemic was, you know, harsh, and still maintain those relationships. When then things started opening up and I decided to do La Cabrona Comedy, like those relationships were there for me as I was there for them. I was like, hey, can I do my first comedy show at your spot? Yeah, for sure. Hey, can you sponsor this Fiesta del Sol event for my comics? Oh, yes, of course. And so all these small businesses and friendships that I had built, like, were there for me. And I think those opportunities came. Like, hey, I know somebody that does comedy. Her name is Jaws, and she's my friend. And then, like, oh, your friend does comedy, and then I get booked, you know?
So you think it's, like, going out and invest on the people, and then at some point you are going to have your return.
Yeah, but it's you invest in people in the way that you make them feel.
I told you.
People don't remember what you gave them, but how'd you make them feel? And it's in the arms of an angel.
Motivational quotes with Yosita.
I know, right? you
just keep peeking at the camera.
Put me in black and gray. But
not black and white, black and gray.
Black and gray. Yeah. Black and gray, like super dark.
No whites.
Yeah, I don't even know my colors. Do I skip kindergarten?
I am Latina. I don't do whites.
No, so for me, in a sense, what I'm trying to say is that, like, I love building friendships because I love people and I love what they contribute to this world. And I do believe
last
that
episode we talked about sex and hitting kids. Like, this is going off rails. People are like, what if he's talking?
This is another Latino podcast. So
one episode, hitting kids and drunk driving. Next episode, I love people and I believe we should connect each other better.
Can you tell I lived in LA for a year? Like, we need to really relax.
Just hippie, you're just hippie.
And zen ourselves into peace.
I must say, I went to LA and just walking the Santa Monica or Venice Beach, the feeling you have is like, this is a chill life that I want to have.
Yeah,
like you don't feel that rush of the traffic.
Too. They're all very chill. Like, hey, what's up?
How are you? Okay,
they're great. You. They're doing fantastic. I know what you're talking about. but yeah, no, they're amazing human beings. But like again, I said, like those folks, like even those folks, I met them through work. Like when I used to work in campaigns, I built such great teams that if I had another opportunity, I would hire them and bring them back. You know, and I know that I would treat them with kindness and respect and dignity because that is what life's supposed to be like. We're not supposed to be out here to get each other. Like, even as comics, my comedy is nothing like yours, and yours is nothing like mine. So me supporting you is not going to take anything from me. On the contrary, it's going to make me so happy to see that people are finding
Nemo.
The art of your comedy.
No, but I believe what even if we have the same type of comedy, we're not going to have the same jokes.
Yeah.
And you can have a let's say a show that is like storytellers comics, and they are because I believe you're a storyteller comic, and you can have like 3, 4, 5 storyteller comics, and I believe people that like those kind of comedy, like that kind of comedy, will enjoy it. So you're not stepping onto each other, you're just
and because our stories are our own stories.
Yeah,
but even like the art of the writers, like because you're a writer, and all punch people are writers. I'm starting to write more jokes that are more like hook jokes because I know that that's what is out there. I also realize like there's people that will steal a joke and I laugh. I'm like, because I know for a fact that you did not go to school in Wisconsin. Like, you know, like we all know. Okay. So for me, it's like, you know, you get those moments, but I'm like, it's about the delivery, it's about the connection. So again, comedy, when you connect with people in the audience, when you do 15 minutes and you get emails or messages saying like, yo, like I'm still thinking about that joke. Or like they look at you and they're like, hey, that joke that you did, like I have this one joke. We can cuss, right? I have this one joke about how my parents My parents, my mom told me one morning, she's like, hey, Yossi, have you heard? And I'm like, have I heard what? She goes, have you heard about your dad? I'm like, well, ¿qué hizo mi papá? Y no supiste que le anda mensajeando a su novia de hace 50 años. And I'm like, en el Facebook. And I'm like, I'm like, apenas me pueden hablar bien por el teléfono y cómo andan haciendo esas cosas en Facebook.
Amarronados.
Sí, mi mamá, pues quiero que se la quites el teléfono a tu papá. Y no me empezó a decir, right? And I laugh because part of my joke is saying, like, that I wrote to her saying, dot, 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 you know, you whore, dot, 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 puta, right? And so some people be like...
Oh, so you're saying two languages just in case.
No, it's true. Yeah, true story, but that's how I do it. And people walk out like, hey, dot, 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 puta, right? And I'm like, oh, my God, like, is that the one joke that you guys remember? What about the Jesus joke? What about the Jesus joke? But, I mean, it's uncanny the what you built, because just recently a girl from high school reached out. She's like, hey... I want to do a fundraiser for my daughter's team. Can you come do stand-up? Like, I want you to book you just to stand-up. But again, if I didn't have her on social media and then say maybe happy birthday or hey, congratulations to your daughter for doing this, or if I don't engage in those relationships that actually like mean well with people, I would say in their mind I'm relevant to their lives. And so they feel comfortable enough to reach out to me to be like, hey, like, can you do this? And I'm like, hey, you know what? Of course. Like, let me know the dates, right? So those are the way that I build my relationships. Now, doing the corporate thing, like, there's times that you have to do business transactions. And so you have to have your value, how much you want to charge, how much you want to, like, you know, if you say, oh, you know what? If it's a corporate event, how many people, how many hours? Thinking of gas, thinking about food, thinking about everything. Okay, $750. Like, I'll do that. Or $1,000, depending on if you Google the company, you know, they have a pretty penny. But just have your standard of what you want to charge for corporate events. Because I struggled with that in the beginning until I realized, I'm like, you know what? No, like, they have the money and this is what it is. Like, I'm going to have to charge what I think my fee should be. Because, you know, you have to clean your comedy, cut your comedy, clean it up. You have to be prepared and you have to travel and maybe you have to book other comics.
Yeah, no, and so. I believe you got a, like, on corporate events, you have to know how to control the audience on top of your comedy, because comedy venues is like you're going there to do comedy and people bought a ticket to see comedy. Corporate events is like sometimes I know that they don't even tell the workers there's gonna be comedy.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we brought this for you, and they're like, what the fuck? Just give us food. Like,
yeah,
like,
we're just here for the actual
and so you gotta
bonuses?
Like control them.
Where are the bonuses?
Where's the
Carl?
Bonus?
Carl.
It's like, look, it's just see that we, you know, you were getting extra money at the end of the year. She got it.
I was like, I got your bonus. Me,
and they're like, give it back.
They're like, we want to go keep building warehouses. Thank you.
But I will go back to LA because I went to New York. I did really good in New York when I was there. I have done comedy in LA. I did good. I have done comedy in Miami. I did comedy in Milwaukee recently.
That's awesome. Wisconsin's great.
Yeah, Wisconsin's great. It's super.
I mean,
good.
The southern part of Wisconsin.
Just one part of Wisconsin.
The southern part.
I want to go to Indiana. People hate Indiana for some reason.
Go to the Hard Rock Cafe. I heard.
I don't want
to
go.
Angela Johnson's gonna be at the Hard Rock in Indiana.
I don't know who Angela is.
She's amazing. You should look her up.
I should open. You tell her.
You should, man.
Tell
I mean,
her, like, hey, I have
her.
Someone to open for you. I'll go.
She's amazing, but she's super famous. She's like Latina, but I think she married somebody with last name Johnson. But yeah, she's Angela Johnson.
Okay, I'll follow her. But I'll be there. Like, we will have a show together, I'm sure. Like, I'll let you know when I go. I'll be going to California.
Yeah, no, you better. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you'll let me know. I'm trying to put together shows. There's a lot of Chicago comics now over there, so it's kind of nice. So, like to.
Do you have any, like, with this we're gonna end the episode? But do you have any shows coming up in the next 2 weeks? Because this episode is gonna come out in 2 weeks. Anything you wanna say?
Well,
like, hey,
well,
stay
in
tuned
LA,
for this.
I'm gonna have a show at the Ice House on the 18th, and then I actually have a show on the 18th of October. But I don't know if you probably still showcase at that time. I don't know what that is. And then who else? I have a couple shows, but they're. I have one here actually, October 26th.
October 26th, where?
The Search Billiards.
Search Billiards?
Yeah, The Pocket. with the Variant show.
The Variant show?
Yeah,
I love Marlon them. Hugh, shout out to Marlon Hugh. Fuck you, I haven't done your show, but shout out to you.
Yeah, he's great. No, and then, I know sometimes if I pop up, I know people like really are really supportive of having me on their shows. I'm just happy that up and coming comics are just kicking butt. Everybody's stepping up their game. And I think my only advice I actually give to myself every day, here's some motivation. Are you guys ready?
Wait. Motivational quotes from Joss Sida.
Every time you get an opportunity to go on stage, make the best of it, record it, and put it online. Because that's all that matters at this point. It doesn't matter what's in the background. What matters is what's spewing out this mic. And make it go viral. That's how you'll make it.
This is a long quote. It's a super long quote.
Yeah, do that.
And with that, we're going to end the episode. So, adios.